The jobless rate gets better in big cities across the country.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Obama this week is talking a lot about the middle class, trying to pressure Congress to extend the payroll tax cut and urging economic fairness for people who have suffered during the Great Recession, including millions of out-of-work Americans. But new jobless data suggests things may be turning around. The unemployment rate in three-quarters of big metro areas across the country fell in November. Some of the biggest gainers, cities of the Midwest and the Rust Belt. And George Zeller is an economic research analyst who joins us now from Cleveland. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve.
So, really, the Rust Belt? I mean, what's going on there? I thought the Rust Belt was like bleeding jobs.
Yes, for a very long time, we've had a horrible economic situation out here in Ohio. The national recession has just clobbered the world, but recently we've seen a slow recovery here in Ohio, I'm very glad to say, and the source of the recovery is manufacturing growth.
What kind of things are people making now?
We've had a huge expansion at the General Motors Lordstown Assembly Plant, where they manufactured crews. In addition, Youngstown, where the steel industry was decimated decades ago, has a huge steel mill under construction right now. And the market for all this, of course, is auto sales, which have been robust.
You think, George, this is a sign that we're actually recovering, or do you think something else is going on here?
Oh, it is a genuine recovery here in Ohio, especially the manufacturing portion, which ripples into the rest of the economy. But we still have economic problems that are severe. But I'm very glad to say that we have a national model in Youngstown, of all places, which is growing more robustly than any place in Ohio.
George Zeller, economic research analyst from Cleveland. George, thanks.
Thank you, sir.
And over to Europe now, just ahead of a big summit later this week there, U.S. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner says he feels good about progress being made to tackle the huge debt crisis and to save the euro currency. Known causes of that crisis include excessive debt and uncontrolled public spending. But some of the roots of those economic woes can be traced back to Germany's infamous and murderous leader, Adolf Hitler. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
If you're looking for someone to blame for the Eurozone debt crisis, you could start with this man. It was after the death and destruction caused by Hitler and his regime in the 1940s that Europe set off down the path that led to the common currency. Economist Andrew Hilton.
We wouldn't have had the euro had it not been for the experience of the Second World War and the determination of a generation of European leaders immediately after the war to make sure it didn't happen again.
For 40 years after the war, West Germany forged an ever closer political and economic union with its neighbours, eliminating trade barriers, harmonising regulations. Largely to atone for the horrors that Hitler had unleashed, the Germans submerged themselves in Europe. But then in 1989 came a thrilling but destabilising event.
One man's just come through, raised his arms in the air and declared, "I've made it."
The fall of the Berlin Wall posed a dilemma, the prospect of West Germany reuniting with its eastern territory. Jan Randolph is with IHS Global Insight.
That would not only bulk up Germany economically, it would also make Germany a political power again, a more assertive, self-interested political power.
And that rang alarm bells most loudly in France, which had been a major target for Hitler's aggression. Charles Grant of the Centre for European Reform says the French insisted the Germans bind themselves even more tightly to their European partners.
The French said, sure, you can be reunified, but let's make quite certain you're going to agree to give up the Deutschmark and take part in a common currency, aren't you? And the Germans, with some reluctance, said yes.
Hitler's baleful effect can be seen everywhere in this story. Because of his legacy, it could be argued, the Germans have dithered during the current crisis, reluctant to play a dominant, decisive role. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are lower at the moment. Today, the Obama administration and the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau will announce plans to simplify what credit card companies tell cardholders, i.e. you and I, about their interest rates and fees. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tacked on 52 points to close at 12,150.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The Food and Drug Administration could decide today whether to remove age restrictions from the morning after pill. Right now, the drug known as Plan B is locked up behind pharmacy counters, and whoever wants to buy it has to be at least 17. But if the FDA lifts the age ban, those pills will find their way to drugstore aisles, which has been a big boon for other drugs that have made similar jumps. Here's Marketplace's Bob Moon.
Sales of the Plan B pill have been on the rise since the drug received its age-restricted over-the-counter status 5 years ago, and future sales could be astronomical if it comes out from behind the counter altogether. So says Professor Ken Caton at the Tufts University School of Medicine. He says drug makers have learned they can milk more profits from their popular brand names by removing the requirement for a prescription.
In fact, in many cases, the sales of the over-the-counter product exceeded the sales of the patented product, in other words, when it was still prescription only.
Consider the first year that blockbuster allergy treatment Claritin was approved for non-prescription use. Sharing Plough saw a 90% jump in sales of its over-the-counter drugs. Laura Maecha follows the healthcare industry for Klein Market Research. She says there's another benefit. Non-prescription drugs tend to be cheaper, although insurance companies end up saving the most.
Once it goes OTC, they no longer have to cover it.
So consumers end up paying for the convenience. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Finally this morning, stupidity and bad luck often make for a valuable life lesson. Last Saturday, a 22-year-old Maryland man tried to shoplift more than $600 worth of video games from a Walmart. Store monitors watched the guy shove more than 24 games down his pants and into his sweatshirt. But when he went to leave, a throng of police officers tackled and arrested him in the parking lot. The store didn't even have to call the police. There was a community program going on at the store that day called Shop with a Cop. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
From Bling Bling to Warren Buffett, we are kind of obsessed with the rich.
I don't think our tax system is very equitable, and I think it drifted dramatically in the last 10 years toward favoring rich guys like me. So I pay a lower tax rate on much of my income than my cleaning lady does.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. As Congress debates the payroll tax cut, how rich is rich? Gallup explains next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.